little girl, I and her on the bus, and she wants to discuss about accumulation. And yes. She asked, how can we know about our accumulation?
Because you can see that any moment what arises is from accumulation. Do you like this? See, if you haven't had it before, no accumulation to like this, and this, and this.
What is the value of knowing or...
No self. We can do anything but understanding it, because we think that we will understand, but actually what appears now should be object of understanding, because it's already conditioned, see? To understand, its condition is the way to understand anattaness. No self, no one. No one can have the seeing now at will or hearing now at will by conditions, everything. That's why Buddha said that don't think about the future and the past, because they are gone. The past has gone and the future hasn't come yet. So only this moment when it appears can be object of understanding of its characteristic, as seeing it sees, seeing it sees. It's not I. Hearing hears. So that which hears is a reality. But no understanding of all these with the idea of I and things in and around us. Because realities arises and falls away in split second, like the toy top. See, it turn and spin around. Who knows, at moment when it just turns around little by little. So life turn around from seeing to hearing, smelling. And this is what it's called samsara. And samsara vata. Vata is another word for the toy top. Vata. In Pali, it means the toy top.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, turning around.
So then, accumulation. Can we understand? Can we experience accumulation, or we only can
understanding can develop from hearing and considering to learn that even understanding is not I. Everything. If there's no condition for its arising, there is nothing. There's no world. Not at all. If there is no citta, cetasika, rupa. But whatever arises, even we don't name it, it's a world. Because it arises. So many, many things now arise. So they appear as the whole world. But there must be a very tiny of each to form up the whole world. Is the solidity nisaya patiya for the taste? Is the hardness and softness is the nisaya patiya of the taste?
That is very difficult word.
Yes, yes, yeah. We have to learn because the Thai use a lot of Thai of Pali tale.
Yes.
So it's quite common in Thai. But the meaning is wrong.
Yes.
When one does not study, one can use the word without any understanding.
I see.
Some people say that Ajahn doesn't have any structure in your discussion.
Structure. I see. Anything can be subject of understanding. Right now. At moment of hardness, no structure, that we have to begin from this or that, because it's now appearing.
Because they are concerning about that, when the newcomer, the newer they come, and
yes.
They want to know about
but,
them.
But that's the way the Dhamma Buddha taught, because he taught about whatever appears, so that anyone can understand it. Like talking about seeing at moment of seeing, talking about touching at moment of touching. So it's not in the book, just at that very moment. Because from the beginning, one can say that all realities are Dhamma, like now. See,
yes.
Reality. It's a, I think that it's quick or short way to understand Dhamma instead of going around, like, listen to the word first and then translate it and then find out where it is. That is not the right way. The right way is whatever appears is real. So it's a reality, beginning with whatever is real at any moment. They are not self, they are conditioned. reality.
Because some people think that it's better for the new, for the newcomer, they meet about the basic concept or the basic identity found.
I think that all newcomers, when we come to the truth of reality, if you read in the book, you just find out the names, no reality. But in order to understand reality, we need words. That's why the words represent any reality right now. So this moment, we don't have to read and understand this. Just listen. It's like reading about whatever appears. We don't have to go and find, like cooking. We have to have ingredients. But now whatever appears is real. So instead of saying what is real is reality and what our realities are, it's useless just to lead the thinking, only thinking about. But at this moment, even there's no lesson to learn, but reality is now, hardness is real. How much one know about that? See? So we talk about realities at any time. We don't need to have chapter 1 or chapter 2. Just knowing first that whatever is real, it's real. Like, is it hard? Then yes, that is hardness. That is the truth that anyone can follow. And what experiences hardness? See, if there is no experiencing, hardness cannot appear around here. Only visible object is seen, but hardness cannot appear. Only when there is touching, hardness appears. So hardness is a reality which cannot be seen. This is Dhamma right now, so we don't have to read lesson 1 and 2 and 3, but just lie down, whatever appears.
But it seems that it's very difficult for people to know the reality right
why
now.
Not? Why not? We don't have to use any technical term at all. You can use what you use everyday life, hardness, heart. See? Only that. Very simple word. So Buddha said that anyone can understand the truth by hearing that in one's own language only. No need to use. Because in Thailand we use the word Dhamma, and many people don't know that now it's Dhamma, what causes real. They don't know that Dhamma is a reality, whatever it is. So they go around, up north and down south looking for Dhamma. See, that is not the right teaching. But the right teaching, whatever it is, we can talk about it to begin to understand the reality. That if there is no understanding, it always appears something as I, by glass and things, by different shape and form. Even the visible object is with the hardness. No one knows. See, without the four primary rupas, there will never be that which can impinge on the eye, that which can appear, because hardness cannot be seen, but it can be touched. So we learn to understand how much ignorance one has without the teaching, without the understanding of the teaching. So anytime, anyone just begin with reality. What is real? Who can make it up? Hardness, seeing. So that is the meaning of anatta, no self, no one. It doesn't belong to anyone because it's already conditioned, hearing, hears. No one can do anything. And it's gone, see, from nothing and then something and then nothing. This is life. So through nothing and then something and then nothing. Nothing arises, nothing appears, and as soon as it has arisen, it falls away. So no more. Just appear to be attached to with ignorance, without the teachings. So one learn to understand what we take for this or that must have, as rupa or whisper object, it has to have the solidity, the four primary rupas. So that is the great rupa. Without these four, nothing can be like taste and sound.
Question?
Yeah.
question of only understand the realities, yes. Start with the realities. But when we talk about various realities, like Chittasika, for example, a lot of the time we don't experience that.
Not you, Chittasika, which likes it. But no need to say that it's Chittasika, a reality which arises with Chitta, with the moment of experiencing. See, we can speak in our own language. And if we know Pali, it's exactly the same. If we were born there at the Buddha side, that's ordinary word.
So then, if we're back to the question of accumulation we talked before, and you said understanding.
And we learn any word and we try to find it. It's not like whenever it appears and you understanding it. For example, do you like this? See, if you haven't had it before, you don't know whether you like it or not. But once you have and you like it, so whenever you see it, you have it again. So all kusala and akusala are accumulated in each moment. That's why people have different characteristics.
Yeah, they know how to do it.
So when there is understanding about reality,
they want to move back direction,
that understanding,
normally they will sit here.
Who understanding
the arrow to pull the word,
that the fact that there's attachment like, there, or does it understand accumulation?
A reality, can we talk about any accumulation?
I mean,
see. At moment when anger arises, one knows that there must be anger before of such and such object. It's like a newly born baby, see? Baby sees but no idea about what is what. Like now, no idea that it's grass or table or anything. But the more it experiences, the shape and form and the idea begins to develop. Even the word, they cannot speak from her. But later on, after they hear a lot of sound, they notice the difference and they learn to remember and can speak out. I cannot speak Vietnamese because I haven't heard as much like you from birth. See? This is accumulation. Whenever kusala or akusala arises, attachment is unwholesome. It is attached to any object and then it accumulates. As soon as it has fallen away, it passes away like the taint of that which is left in the next moment of citta.
What we experience
is because the previous citta conditioned the next one, the preceding one, so it passed everything on and on and on.
But in terms of the reality, so if we talk about seeing and then after that we have thinkings and all that, like the other day we talked about that the 17 citta, for example, and it's very fast. At the beginning, if people don't experience that yet because it's too fast, how do we talk about that?
No one experiences that fast, but learning to see the truth of it. And by understanding more, no expectation to experience anything by having the understanding of no one, no self. So leave it to conditions with detachment, otherwise there's clinging again to this or that as something permanent or stay. So it has to go with right understanding, very natural, with detachment from wanting to have more or trying so hard to understand better. Because at that moment, no understanding of no self enough. So it can condition moment of trying to do something the self is trying to do to get the self for the self. Not the eradication or the elimination of that idea from taking anything from self anymore. Little by little. because we are not here this moment, but eons and eons ago, one citta arises and falls away. If that citta hasn't fallen away, it cannot condition the next citta, which precedes it, as soon as it has fallen away. So life goes on with a moment of citta, just one at a time. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, that's all. So one was born to eat and sleep. This morning, eat, and then sleep, and then eat, and sleep, until death has come. So where's I of past life? See? And where is I for next life? Because everyone will die, for sure. So death means that no more the present as before, but that can be conditioned for the new existence arising. Comes wrong. Follow this last moment of this life instantly, but never be the same one again. Like past life is not this life, and this life is not next life. So how long will we be this person? And after that, what would be? See, it can be dog, pig, bird, or deva in heavens, who knows, depending on conditions. That's why when we read Tipitaka, it talks a lot about different lives of different people, by conditions.
Felt that it's like a fairy tale.
Like a fairy tale. Once upon a time. See, it begins with once upon a time. And this moment is just once. Next moment is once. Only once upon a time. That which is gone is gone. Never come back at all. So even now it's once upon a time. Shorter and shorter. Once upon a time, there is seeing. Once upon a time, there is hearing. Once upon a time, only once in samsara, circle of life and death, of birth and death, only once. Never be two at a time. Only once at a time. So it's so very temporary and very rapidly, always unknown. And it's time to understand, see, that I have so many, many times for other things, but few time for understanding.
I was talking about how sometimes it's disturbing because of keep thinking about work, and so we talked about the accumulated tendency and no one who can do anything or change anything. Anything else you wanted to ask about it?
Forgetting that what we have learned, that all are dharmas and all are conditioned, and it cannot last, it cannot stay long. It's gone before you think about it. You think that it's there like now, they're seeing, but actually it's only the succession of moment of seeing in other realities alternately.
But because I didn't see the seeing that gone that fast, that went away that fast, but always like sometimes that would be more the thinking it continuously.
Because you see that you or anyone cannot see, only right understanding begins from hearing, considering whether it's true or not, whether now seeing arises, because nothing, and then something, and then nothing. the current of life is like this. Bawanka, bawanka, and then processes, and then bawanka. So whatever appears, arises and falls away. No understanding or understanding, nobody can change the way it is. But there will be less attachment to the idea, to the wrong idea of something permanent. Life is so short, we don't know how many moments we can have the development of understanding again. Live without understanding and live with understanding, different life. Otherwise one does not see the Buddha at all, just hearing the word, paying respect, never know him. But when there is understanding at any level, one, that is the beginning of understanding who was him, the Buddha himself.
Yeah. And what about when we not respect the Buddha's teaching or under evaluate him because of
so you don't respect him, that's the reason, only that. You do not respect the Buddha. If there is, when one respect, it's not just paying homage, present the offerings, because that can be done through body and through speech. What about the mind? Only when there is understanding of his teaching, only then, that is the real paying respect to his teachings, not thinking in one own way anymore.
What do you think of by respect to the Buddha?
From my experience, for example, I sometimes I tend to simplify it.
Simplify. Can you simplify seeing?
Not appreciate his teaching. Getting is. I think for my case, it was I strong attachment or like. Believe in the way that I think, or believe in there's a certain way, like this way and the other way, and not.
No better than you at all? Because you believe in your own way. But if one knows that there must be someone who's no better, and that one is the Buddha, we'll learn much more from hearing and considering his words, not our own way of thinking anymore. Because who are we and who is he? Quite far apart.
Were he not the Jesus or other people?
Why not? He taught for 45 years to whom? To those who have confidence that he know better, much more better. And the more one learns and understands who he was, the more confidence we have. Because one does know at the moment of thinking enough. For example, see, just see, only moment. And from that on, there are moments of thinking. Who knows that without thinking, there is no idea of this at all. If there is just seeing itself, it just sees. It cannot think, it cannot know what is seen at all. So the moment of knowing what is there is not seeing. Seeing has to fall away. Just, and there is only one moment of seeing. Seeing among all other moments. So how much ignorance is there? Thinking there is thinking. Many, many times, but actually there is many cittas in between one moment of thinking, seeing, and the other moment of seeing. And he taught in details in order to have confidence in reality, which is not permanent, conditioned.
Yeah.
arising and falling away. Can you think by your own self? Who else can you have confidence? Who else that you can have confidence?
On those who say something that I experience and I testify that is true. So for Buddha teaching, for example, so a lot of that I haven't been testified.
Or the teachings of the Buddha, no matter who says, the truth must be the teachings of the Buddha, not one's own teaching. No matter who he said, the right words is my words, the right teachings, no matter who says, because that person cannot just sing it up or realize by oneself, by one's own experience. So everyone knows that how come the understanding of whatever appears, from whom, see? If from this teacher, how come this teacher have such understanding? From whom again, 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 until from Buddha?
So I was more referring to other religion, like Jesus or Muhammad, for example. So these are not, they have their own theory of explaining the world. And so then they will not relate to the Buddha. They are not the followers or students of Buddha.
Do you get any truth from his teaching about whatever appears now? About life from moment to moment? How it's conditioned?
They have a different logic to explain it.
Like the person who believe to what that is told, stand up, sit and pay attention to this or that, focus on this and that, no understanding. So it depends on the individual's accumulation. For me, never like be like that, to be told to do whatever is told is not my characteristic. Even the word should be clarified until there is the right understanding of what is heard. As seeing is a reality, no matter who knows whether it's real or not, it is that. Nobody can change that which sees to other things. And they're seeing right now to be confident whether it's true or not, that seeing, nobody can make it up. Nobody can have it arise at will at all. Without right conditions, it cannot arise at all. That person with any name. Just the panya, the great understanding that can discern the truth of whatever appears right now. Clearly, truly, never change. The absolute truth cannot be changed at all. Seeing cannot be someone or a person, it's conditioned. It's a reality which can experience an object. Only that, at moment of seeing what it sees, it sees, it knows what's here. It's like hearing sound at this moment is heard. Otherwise, who can experience sound? Who can know that there is sound without hearing? But hearing itself cannot understand the meaning of anything, it just hears. So one learns to understand whatever there in one's life. So what do we do?
About how to bring to the moment now.
Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, attachment, aversion, like, dislike, hardness, What did you eat? Just to make me go. See? Without citta, cetasika, rupa, can there be eating? The table cannot eat. Without rupa, can the citta eat? No. See? So, no I, there are cittas, cetasikas, and rupa, that's all.
I remember one question of my friend that she asked that where is the karma stored? Actually, where is the karma stores? Actually, you can say that no place to store, but it's really difficult to understand how the process, how the karma to bring the result at this moment, but not the other moment or this cetasika or this feeling, but not others.
There are different cittas at this very moment. Are there different cittas at this moment? Citta here, here, here. Are they different? Is this citta different from that citta? Even thinking is different. Like and dislike at different levels are also different. So what is the question?
How all the verbal this or bodily this or mental this from long and long ago in the samsara, and it brings the result at a certain moment this but not that cetasika of
different by different conditions.
It can be said that by condition, but
by different conditions.
Which is you mean the 24 relations?
Each different is moment. At this moment, a dog sees exactly the same, because seeing sees, but what arises after, seeing consciousness, is different. It cannot understand, even it hears the sound. No understanding of each sound, the meaning of each, at all. It just hears. Different. Each moment is different by conditions. One see the same thing, one reads the same book or word, but different ideas, different thoughts. For example, every reality is not self. See, only that. What about each understanding? Each reality is not self. Seeing is not self, hearing is not self. It depends on the accumulation to believe or to have confidence and to think over and over again until it's more and more confidence that it cannot be self. Nothing, something, and nothing again. Seeing that cannot arise without conditions. whenever it arises, it passes away instantly. No one can stop its arising and its falling again and again by conditions. It depends on each accumulation to understand this too.
So there are many karmas and also many conditions to bring to
of each reality.
Mm-hmm. Achan, can you talk more about the rupas? During the discussion in Hue, I realized that you mentioned that, for example, the heart base, the ear base, and all other bases, they all, at one moment, they all arise and fall away constantly. So that means, so before at some point, I was thinking there was nothing out there. At one moment, there was only the visible object. And
without hardness or solidity, can there be visible object?
No.
See, so much to know, even right now, who thinks about solidity or hardness, because that which is seen is not hard, but there must be hardness. Otherwise, there is no visible object.
But the hardness or the thing that we said is associated with the visible object and associated with the eye base, for example. But what about other object like the hearing that not experience at that point, but the rupa does it. The rupa associated with that hearing of audible object, does it arise and fall away at the same moment?
Yeah. With our condition, seeing the eye-based, ear-based cannot arise. So it depends on condition, what condition the eye-based, the ear-based, nose-based, tongue-based, and body-based. What condition all these spaces? Can you make it? Can the scientists, the doctors? No. It has its own proper conditions for its arising. And what conditions that?
So the rupa? Citta?
Yeah.
And karma?
That's why some do not have eyes from birth because of karma, not wanting to have eyes. Does anyone do not want to have eyes?
No.
But for the others, sometimes do you want that person not to have eyes? Otherwise, no conditions for to be blind from birth, because the deeds of such deed cannot produce the eye base.
Is it just not wanting the other to see, or actually some deed must be some deed motivated?
Deeds with attachment, aversion, ignorance.
So in terms of the rupa, so if at now, for example, that this thing, if it's not appear to the, there's no condition for the eye to see it, but does it mean that there's no rupa associating with that?
As long as there are conditions for rupa to arise, it has to arise no matter who sees it or not.
So Achan, someone who is born blind, so that person is called the no hetu, right? Is born with no hetu.
so that person cannot develop.
Two hetus. No hetu must be akusala vipaka.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but actually because but it's called ahetuka, right?
Ahetuka, animal.
Animals.
Hell.
But because it is said that the people who are born handicapped cannot develop understanding in that life, or cannot attain enlightenment, yeah, in that life. So because they always born with.
What about those who born with three hetus? Nothing about two. Just no hetu at all.
Yeah, just trying to understand the relationship between being handicapped and not being able to attain enlightenment.
Actually, it's not the relationship between being handicapped, it's the relationship between being born with only two roots, because if it's at the moment of birth, if there are only two roots, no panya, no amoha, chetasika, during that life, there cannot be, like, there may be hearing the Dhamma, but not enough conditions to really understand it in order for it to develop. But we can't know.
Why the handicapped people is reborn with two hetus only? Why cannot it be with three?
Because the birth in the human realm is a result of kusala karma, but like we were discussing, other kinds of karma support that karma. They may not have the result of rebirth, but they can condition, for example, being blind or deaf or handicapped at birth. So being born with two roots, it's a result of kusala karma, but it's not as strong, not as good a result as being born with three roots, because other akusala karma also bring their result at that time, like being handicapped.
So the fact that they are handicapped indicates that the kusala that has conditioned the rebirth in that life is not strong, not as strong as, okay.
All that also akusala karma is having its supporting effect. Because like Ajahn was saying yesterday, it's not just one karma that brings result in life, but many that are accumulated, and the Janaka karma brings result of rebirth and other results, but the other karmas also can bring their result at that time.
And someone who is born with only two hetus, if he listens to the Dhamma, can he still understand without like being able to develop it to a very high degree? Right?
What about born with three hetus? Again, depending on accumulations.
Okay.
And we can't tell. We can't tell two or three hetus, and you know, even we can't tell if someone is handicapped at birth. We can't tell whether it's from the moment of conception or some time after that, when something happened in the womb, or so.
But even if something happened in the womb, if something happened in the womb, it's still
she's where's who?
Then it's still karma, right? It's still karma for that person to be blind.
Yes, but we can't say it's the, if it happened whilst in the wound, then it's not the rebirth result. So it's not the question of the two or three roots, which is about from the very first moment of life, being born or blind or deaf or handicapped from the very first instant of conception. So we can't. We can't really know.
I sense it's only produced after the rebirth consciousness, not the same.
Sarai, this morning you mentioned me about one kind of pachaya. I think it is helpful to understand about anatomy.
This morning we were talking a little bit about different tendencies and habits and accumulations, because why does one person like this food and another like another food, or why does one person like it hot and another like it cold? So we were talking about we know a little bit about karma paccaya, this is one condition, and we know a little bit about aramana paccaya, this is the object of citta, and a very big condition is called pakatu upanisya paccaya. Pakatu means natural, upanisya means support, decisive support. So pakatu, upanisya, paccaya. Paccaya means condition. So when we think about why this liking for this or that, or why does punya arise for some people when they hear about the Dharma, but for others, no conditions for punya to arise, or why someone remembers this and someone else remembers that, it's by this condition. So all the tendencies in the past, the various habits, the inclinations, the likes and the dislikes, all have been accumulated, so that when time comes, like for example for Ajahn, accumulations to like chocolate ice cream, because that tendency, that habit, that liking has been accumulated. For me, habit or inclination to like hot tea. So different tendencies, different likes and dislikes are accumulated. And this is the way that punya can develop also. This is why it's so precious to listen and consider more about dharmas, because this is the way, when there's a little punya now, it can accumulate and grow little by little. So was there any other question about it?
So when saying about the accumulation, then that it is the accumulation about the citta and cetasika and rupa, particular rupa, or just the cetasika and cittas only?
We're talking just about the accumulation of kusala and akusala, cittas and cetasikas. And it's the reason it's important is, like, for example, if we're talking about effort or any other factor, like we may think in conventional life, I can make an effort to do this, or that I'm lazy in this situation. But actually we can see that it's just a mental factor, virya, and it's accumulated so that it will arise according to its conditions too. So right effort is accumulated at moments of understanding, and wrong effort is accumulated at moments of wrong understanding. No one does anything. No one makes an effort or doesn't make an effort, but that mental factor is accumulated even now while we're listening to the Dharma. The right effort, or with the right considering, is being accumulated, so that there's more right effort another time, like also now interest, chanda, there's interest to hear about the Dharma. And that interest, usually we have interest for other things like the food or our other activities, but now there's interest to hear the Dharma, and that interest is also accumulated by this condition, not someone who decides, now I've got an interest and then I'm going to do this or that. So one by one we can begin to understand about different conditions, to see that whatever arises in life from moment to moment arises by different conditions, such as this one. So kusala, akusala, the reason it arises is not because of karma, but because of this condition, natural decisive support condition. So we may think if we change the situation there'll be more kusala or akusala, but what we learn is the cause of kusala or akusala is not actually anything to do with the situation, but It's the accumulated tendency for kusala or akusala. Like someone may listen to the discussion and even though their English is perfect, there may not be any wise considering at all. So it just depends on the, even in the Buddha's time, like Devadatta had the opportunity, the perfect situation, but just accumulations for a wrong view that was so strong that in that life couldn't understand what was heard. So it's a very important condition to begin to understand.
Yesterday we talked about like how we have the attachment to loba or to some fun thing in the past, conditioned to talk more about that. To talk more, keep talking about some experience in the past, and we say that we're just talking among friends that this actually can be a kusala to condition or to strengthen the accumulation to be more attachment to something that we liked before. Then I had a thinking. So then, if we don't talk about that at all, does it stop the loba? You know, does that stop the accumulation?
No matter what, it's still I. Not the understanding of reality. So the I thinks a lot about everything, but it's only no understanding of whatever appears as no self at all.
So in reality, if just talking about something in the past, does it condition for the loba to arise more or not?
My loba?
Or what?
Not my loba, but the reality of the loba.
Yeah.
So one has only the idea of the loba, but not the actual moment when loba is there. This is different. Right? Is there loba right now? And what about the understanding of loba right now? No, see, so we just be delirious about everything, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and story, yeah? Not really understand reality which appears at all. So at moment of learning the numbers and the what the way Buddha taught without understanding that for what or just for reading, thinking, considering, talking, or in there to in order to have less idea of self at any moment, unknowingly, not by the self, but by the accumulation of understanding. The self is always there when it's not that degree of right understanding which can penetrate and experience its nature which arises and falls away. So we learn much about realities in order to have more and more accumulation to understand reality right now. Not just hearing about seeing, and then seeing arises and falls away, and talking about seeing while seeing arises and falls away. So there must be the understanding that it's the moment of develop right understanding which only it can experience directly whatever arises and appears now. Not I to have less idea of I. Otherwise, no matter how much one learns about the story or the conditions, it's still I who just would like very much to know about it.
In the particular case of attachment to past experience, which was Hai's question, you mean experience when, like, meditating or some kind of... Oh, just normal things you enjoy. Oh, okay, like watching movies or eating food or that sort of thing. So you're wondering if talking about it, maintains the attachment.
But when we think like that, because actually what we learn is that in life there are only conditioned dharma. So whether talking or not talking about these things, each moment, each citta is conditioned. So it's not a matter of deciding to talk or deciding not to talk, because then it's the idea of I can decide or I can not have this situation. But actually at each moment there is citta, there is chetana, there is manasikara, attention, many different cheetahs and chetasikas arising all the time, each one conditioned. So I should stop talking about it, just a kind of thinking at that moment that's also conditioned. And who knows what will happen next. Maybe you stop talking about it, but it's still attachment. So no one can control or stop attachment from arising. And the aim is not to try and stop attachment, but just understand what appears at this very moment. If it's attachment, it's so common and ordinary, not my attachment. So even whilst chatting about the fun things, there can be moments of understanding and awareness even at those times. Otherwise it's always thinking, oh, this is the suitable situation and that's the unsuitable and I better not do this and I should do that, instead of just understanding what's conditioned at this very moment, not self at all. As I just said to Lan, these tendencies like attachment for chatting about this or attachment to this or that, it's just accumulated in this way by this condition. No one can stop it arising when it's time.
So that even the thinking that, I have a special style, I like that or I like the other one, it could just be conditioned.
It's just conditioned to think about me and what I like and my accumulations that are so much more special and important than others, or my accumulations that I would like to be a different way, clinging to being another kind of person or having different habits, instead of just understanding Dharma as Dharma at any moment.
So does its thinking...
It's just thinking.
And does its thinking... is this thinking have a role in stopping understanding to develop?
The only real hindrance to the development of right understanding is wrong understanding. Wrong understanding and ignorance. So at moments of thinking that I can stop being lazy or I can have more effort or if I don't talk about this or that there won't be any lobha, this is wrong understanding and it leads to wrong path, and that's the real hindrance to the development of right understanding. The idea of I can do something or not do something, or something really existing. So that's why the path has to begin with right understanding. And the first fetter that has to be eradicated is the wrong view of self.
I think that we might not know that whatever is experienced is just to be forgotten. See, even such words, if it's there in one's mind, that can be conditioned perhaps less attachment to seeing this or that, because you see it just to be forgotten. Even now, everything is to be forgotten. But that will bring to the association with the wise one or the wise or right words. Because you know that if we just hear it once, it's not enough at all. So the more one hears about the teachings, about realities, about the truth, one knows that it can develop. Otherwise, it develops in other ways, like clinging to this and that as usual, because one associates with those more than the teachings of the Buddha. So even each word is so very worthy to be kept, to be reminded any moment that whatever is there, no matter it's so very interesting, very present, but just to be forgotten. And once upon a time, each moment, see?